Let's turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Amongst all the young people that are here, and that were here, I see some of the girls have engagement rings, and other of the young men, they have wedding rings. And that tells a big tale. It tells us about lives that are committed. And I want to read with you today of five different rings in the Bible. A ring expresses a perpetuity, just a continuation. It expresses an unfailing nature. That's why it has no beginning, it has no end. It's an unfailing thing. And the first ring that we're going to notice is the ring that was given to the prodigal. And that is what happened on the day of my conversion. The Lord put a ring on my hand. And everyone who is saved here today, and you who are young, this is not a ring that you earn. For the prodigal never earned his ring. This is a ring that's given from the Father with a declaration and a purpose. So let's read of it in chapter 15 of Luke, and read, please, at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And we will read further down, please, at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now I want to notice with you the ring of sonship that is mentioned in that passage. Now, if you will, please turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 41. Genesis, chapter 41, concerning dear Joseph, and verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And notice verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, and what he saith to you, do. Now finally, or thirdly, if you will, please, in the next book, the book of Exodus, chapter 28. In that verses we read concerning Joseph, we have Joseph as the sovereign. Chapter 28 of Exodus, and here we're going to read about rings of security. We will read, please, at verse 21. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate, And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two clasps and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod, before it or in the front of it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and thou shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forefront thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle or the embroidered girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the embroidered girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. Now please, in chapter 25 of Exodus. Chapter 25, and I want to notice with you the rings of service that are found in this passage. We'll commence our reading at verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it. And thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. And 2 rings shall be in the one side, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne them with them, that is, carried with them. And the staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Now, one final reading, please, in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon. That's just before the book of Isaiah. Chapter 5. And we will read, please, at verse 10. This is an engaged girl, and she's speaking about the man she's going to marry. And she speaks about him already as if she were his. Or he was hers, pardon me. And of course, that's the way it should be with all couples. They should be so in love that it's not a question of, I'm going to, like one person said, I'll alter him. She meant she's going to take him to the altar, but no, she meant more than that. But that's not marriage. No, it's not the altering of him or altering of her. It's what we see in this person speaking of her bridegroom. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. So on. May the Lord graciously bless our reading of His Word. Now, this is very, very elementary, and I'm only intending just to try and put into the hands of you, dear young people, that are wearing all these rings. Some of them are good, some of them maybe you could leave off, but nevertheless, I hope that as you look at it, your ring, you will remember the thoughts that the Word of God would remind us of the spiritual exhortation that His Word would give us when we look at our rings. First of all, we have the ring of sonship. It's a very beautiful thing to see this prodigal come home. And I'm not going to spend time to notice with you the remarkable reception that this boy received before he ever went into the house. And before he ever went back into the father's house, it was declared to all, "This is my son." You know, upon conversion, the moment that you trusted the Lord Jesus, dear younger believer here today, you were made a child in the family of God. You were born again, received the life of the family of God. That's a divine life. So as a child, we are expected to bear likeness to our Father. And that's what the Lord Jesus is doing. He is teaching us the character of the Father. And as we look at Him, we become more like our Father. That's beautiful. That's what He is expecting. That's the work of the Spirit of God who took up residence in me. But at the moment of conversion, you were made a son. Now that's different. In the economy of that time, and particularly in the Jewish element of the economy of the Bible, the idea of being made a son is he was adopted into sonship, and that's the bar mitzvah. That's where he is declared to be an heir of the Father. Not now a child, that's assumed. He was born a child, but he's an heir. And that boy is going to come into the secrets with the Father of all the inheritance that his Father has, if he's a multimillionaire. That boy has been brought into heirship with his Father. And he is going to do business with his Father. And he's going to do business for his Father. And that's what happened to this prodigal. That is an amazing story of grace. That's one of the great features why the Lord Jesus told that parable. Because under the law, that boy should have been stoned and then hung on a tree. That's what the law said. But the Lord Jesus brings in grace. And you and I here today, dear younger believer and dear older saint, each of us are monuments of divine grace. Grace alone could reach me. Grace alone could love me. Grace alone could do anything with me. Divine grace. And it has made you and made me monuments of grace. And one of the great features of grace is that God has brought me into heirship with Himself. What an amazing factor. And so, dear young Christian, you have a ring upon your hand today. It was put there by God. And you know what He's telling? He's telling the world, this is one of my heirs. This young man's going to do business for me. This young lady's going to represent me in the market. Sonship. And so every one of us here today have the joyous liberty of representing God in our world. Now, you have heard much exhortation at this conference regarding that responsibility. But what I wish to emphasize and just leave in your thinking today is you have a ring on your hand given you of God, your sons. Now, if you wish to read a doctrine regarding sonship, read the Galatian epistle and also the 8th chapter of Romans. If you read those two passages, you will get two viewpoints of focus regarding sonship. Now, I'm not going to take time to look at them with you, for I'm going to be very brief, just another 12 minutes, and I will be finished. The last man will have half an hour plus, Lord willing, and me willing too. But let me just leave with you the thought that you and I are in business with God and for God from the day of your conversion. So, dear younger believer, don't think that usefulness for God is going to be something that you have to work up a ladder and reach a certain plateau, and then perhaps God will trust you. He trusted you the day He saved you. Now, are you continuing with that trust? He put that ring on your hand the moment He brought you into His family. And He's declaring that. And one day, He is going to reveal that to the whole world when He comes back out of heaven with glory. After we have gone home to glory at the rapture, when He comes back again, what you have done business for Him for in this world, He is going to reward. And when He gives honor to the degree that you have used His inheritance usefully, He's going to display it. Display it to a world that is in rack and ruin. See what my grace did for that young man? He trusted me. Look at him now. That's sonship. And I hope that that will reach each of our hearts today and help us. We are here as heirs of God, joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are here in business for God. The Lord Jesus told parables about it, didn't he? Pounds and talents. He made a distinction between the two. In the one, all are equal, they all have the pound. In the other, some can be trusted with more or less. Now this is the very simple point. Let me leave it with you as I go to the next text. Are you trustworthy as a son? You are a son. Even the girls, you're all sons. You understand? Please don't get mad at me now. I don't mean you girls are boys. No, you girls are not boys and don't act like one. But no, you're all young ladies. But we're all in sonship with God. And God put that ring on your finger, sister. He's trusting you to do business for Him, not for the devil. So let me just ask you very kindly, very pointedly. Seeing that you and I represent God and our Lord Jesus in this world, who do you want to look like? Do you want to look like that rock star? There's nothing for God in him. Or do you want to look like the Lord Jesus? Because that's who we represent. We are sons. God help us to do business for his worthy name, who has brought us into the liberty of sonship. Secondly, we read of Joseph. Joseph received a ring from Pharaoh. And it's a beautiful picture that we see this dear man brought out of the prison. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. Brought out of the prison of darkness, of death. He himself coming forth in all the glory of his inherent power in his person, the eternal person. And he's been glorified by God, set on the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. He is Lord. He wears a ring. He wears a ring. I read to you one verse towards the end of that chapter. Because it speaks volumes of the influence that Joseph had in the land of Egypt. The very bread on the table of the people's homes was because Joseph gave it to them. Joseph controlled Egypt. He controlled it with great, great benefit. He was a great man. And dear younger believer, our Lord Jesus Christ wears the ring of lordship. And there is absolutely nothing in his great storehouse that is not intended to benefit his people. But how did they get the benefit? How are they going to realize the benefit of the lordship of Joseph in Egypt? There's two things that are said. First of all, they went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to them, go to Joseph. Dear younger believer, let me say to you very kindly, take everything to God in prayer. Everything. Go to Joseph. Tell the blessed person at the right hand of the Father, he's your Redeemer. He is your Lord. In him are all the warehouses of blessing and supply that your life could need. What are you looking for? Well, that's kind of a broad question, because I think a lot of the young people are looking for partners. Let me say to you very kindly, dear younger folk, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. Now that doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't look for a nice pretty little girl, you young men, and you young ladies, looking for a man that's proper and has got a good background, a few things like that. But remember, go to Joseph. Because Joseph is going to give you the best. The world can't give you the best. No, they can't give you anything to compare with what Joseph could give you. But I'm going to speak very practically about that. And I want to say to you young men, There's two things that young men need to realize. In every male, there's a macho streak. Not a male. Not an old one. The old macho, I hope. My wife's downstairs, so she can hear me too. But it's in every male. You know where it came from? It came from a fall in the Garden of Eden. That's where it came from. A man who was intended to be a servant decided to be the boss. That's a poor mate right there. And the second thing is, spoiled boys make very poor husbands. That's for parents. And spoiled girls make very hard to live with wives. I've seen it. And listen, dear boys and dear girls, go to Joseph. Go to him. You're looking to him for help and grace, that you will receive a partner, that you will be able to fulfill the words of the psalmist. You know what David said? Let us exalt his name together. That's what you're looking for. That's the very best, because all the rest will follow. How'd I get onto that line? Let me, sister, come back here, will you? Please, and go to Joseph, not only for the food, not only for partners, but for usefulness. Because these dear people became indebted to Joseph. They became indebted to them relative to their farms, relative to their cattle, relative to their families. They became indebted to Joseph. Joseph wears a ring. He is Lord in Egypt. The third one, let me notice with you, in chapter 28 of the book of Exodus, we have the rings of security. It's on the breastplate. You know, the breastplate of the high priest of Israel was not for salvation. The breastplate of the high priest of Israel was because of their service for the Lord. Because the names on these stones were the names of tribes that were placed around the tabernacle in positions of responsibility to complement and to protect the ark and the tabernacle that was in the midst. That's where they pitched their tent. That's where they lived. And when they paraded through the wilderness, and they did parade, they didn't just move helter-skelter, you know. They moved by an order because they were a testimony for God. But on the breastplate of that high priest were these rings. And it says the reason that they had the rings on there. You remember we read that? That it might be secure to the ephod. And the ephod was a garment that the high priest wore that speaks of the heavenly nature of the Lord Jesus because of its color and because of the way it was fabricated. But this is the point. In our walk, in our parade, in our testimony for the Lord Jesus, he keeps us securely upon his heart. That is very precious. And dear younger believer, every act of obedience that you give to the Lord Jesus, it's upon his heart. He appreciates it. And he is securing that love and those individuals in their responsibility, in their service for him, securely upon his heart. And it says two things about them. Those rings, when they were attached with a lace of glue, isn't that a lovely picture? One could spend all the time of the rest of the afternoon on it. But let me just leave with you this thought that's in this passage. These dear people, whether they're irrespective of their age, whatever their occupations, they were securely upon the heart of their great high priest. And this is what it says about them. For a memorial before the Lord. Isn't that nice? Every step of your obedience before God as a memorial before the Lord. He appreciates it. The Lord Jesus shows you off before the Father because of his appreciation of your obedience. And the second thing it says about him, it says, he bears it as a burden upon his heart. Oh, I love that. To me, it's touching that the Lord Jesus bears me as a burden upon his heart. Sometimes I fear I'm a heavy burden to him, but he bears me as a burden. He loves me, and he wants my life to be a life that will manifest his grace
And he appreciates that he bears me as a burden upon his heart. Let me leave the last two with you. The next one, in chapter 25, we find rings upon the ark. Now, there were six pieces of furniture relative to the tabernacle, and only five of them are mentioned, only four of them are mentioned as having rings upon them. But the rings were little rings so they could put sticks through them, those staves, made from shittim wood and overlaid with gold. But they were carrying. That was meant for a responsibility of carrying the furniture of the tabernacle. And they did that in a specific order. And dear brethren and dear sisters, we're carrying these articles of the tabernacle. Think of that great big altar that speaks of Calvary. You and I are to carry that. Carry it on our shoulders. Let the world know we're associated with the cross. That's what we carry. That's what those rings are for. To facilitate these men to carry the altar. And then the second piece that had rings upon it was a table. And it had 12 loaves of bread on it. And the bread stayed right on it while they were carrying it. And it was overlaid, of course, with cloths. But that bread, there were 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes. There was a fellowship between those people that was represented on that table. And they had to be careful to carry that table. Listen, dear brother, dear sister, you and I are responsible for the unity of fellowship between believers. Make sure you don't break that. Don't let the table fall. You are to carry that. Be careful that no one enters your life that will break up your fellowship with your brethren. Just don't even listen to them. Remember, things on the table are for you to carry it. And keep it safely as we move through our testimony for God. And then there's the little wee golden altar. That's worship. That's what the incense was put on. And we're to be careful to carry the table of worship. Maintain it, dear brother. Keep looking as you read your Bible. Keep your eye out to see the glories of the Lord Jesus. Take a highlighter and highlight it. Because that's what's going to provoke worship in your heart for Him. As you see His glories and you bow before them, you're carrying the little golden altar safely through the wilderness. And then there's the ark. That speaks of the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. Our testimony for bearing His name. There's rings of responsibility to carry those pieces of furniture. So dear brother and dear sister, remember the ring on your finger. You're in business for God. Never forget it. He's trusted you with pounds and talents. Use them for His glory. Remember the ring on His finger. He is Lord. That means He governs. He can be trusted. Go to Joseph with everything. And look upon the rings upon the breastplate that tells you of His love for you, His appreciation of your service. Just keep being obedient. It's a memorial before God, and it's a burden of love upon His heart. And remember these rings upon the pieces of furniture. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, the prayer meeting, the gospel service, the activities of the assembly. You're carrying them. Be careful how you carry them, that nothing will stumble and none will fall. And last of all, the rings of His hands. You know what that tells me of? I think it means really that His hands were cupped like that, like ring. The strength of the hand of my beloved. And as she looked at those hands, she could see that she could trust them. Wisdom, power, and grace and ability. God help us to trust the hands of our blessed Lord. They are rings of gold, and we can trust them. May the Lord help us to appreciate our responsibility and never forget the ring on your hand. Day by day, it's there. God help us to do business for Him, for His name's sake.